Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Sunday Morning Breakfast, Sunday Morning Inspirational Call. Happy Sunday. We are here again. Beautiful weather outside. Well, here in the South. I just haven't talked about that in a while, but just admiring that on this morning. And as we prepare to go forward in fellowship, I want to remind everyone of our topic, which is deception versus discernment. And we truly had an amazing call on Wednesday as we talked about what that means, just addressing some things that are so pertinent to our walk as Christians, just defining what those things are. So, deception, just reminding everyone that, it gets us away from the glory of God. It's the action of deceiving someone. But also, putting emphasis on how important it is to have discernment, how important it is to be able to judge well, because we've all been misconceived and, we've had that misconception that we're not to judge. But the Bible tells us, we've heard it all the time, when you see your brother in error, go to your brother in love. And that can be a male, female, anyone that you're connected to or not necessarily connected to. But as Christians, we have a responsibility to do those things. And God commands us to do them. So it's not, taking matters into our own hands. It's actually following God's commands. And when we do that, He gets the glory. So as we just stated, when we walk in deception, we walk away from God's glory. And it's very important that we stay connected to God, because that helps us to really, get out of a place of being deceived, but also being a deceiver. Because we have to not always point the finger. We have to realize that a lot of times we've been on the end of, deceiving someone. That could have been recent. It could have been, just times past. And also, what are we going to face on tomorrow? What are we going to face, in the next week or so that is going to, we know that Satan tempts us. So what are we going to do? How are we going to operate in the realm of God? How are we going to operate in obedience and do what God tells us to do? And in order for us to do that, we have to be close to God. We have to be connected to Him to know how to bypass the deception. And when we see it, how do we, turn it into something? How do we allow the Holy Spirit to use us so that it can be turned into something that'll bring God glory? So again, deception versus discernment is what we are continuing to go forward discussing. And at this time, we're going to go forward in prayer. Our Father and our God, we come before You on this morning at this hour to say thank You, dear Lord. We thank You, Lord, for just allowing us to wake up on this morning, to come together in fellowship and to dwell in Your presence, dear God. We thank You for just preparing our hearts and minds to receive of You on this morning. But more importantly, God, we thank You for just allowing us to understand what it is that You are telling us, dear Lord, and helping us to go out and be obedient so that we can carry out Your purpose for our life, dear God, helping us to recognize deception, helping us to discern what it is that You would have us to do, dear Father. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for the power of prayer that it has in our lives, dear God, and we thank You for continuing to show us the way that we ought to live. Show us how we can continue to submit our lives to You, dear God, but also help us to submit to You in a way that others can see You through the life that we live, dear Father. We thank You for this platform that You continue to provide. We thank You for this ministry, dear Father, and we thank You for our leader. We ask that You would just strengthen him where he's weak, dear God, and then continue to keep us all connected so that we may go forward in the manner in which You've called all of us to do. We pray and ask all these things in the precious name of Your darling Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So again, deception versus discernment. And, you know, one of the things that I recognize just in day to day is that we oftentimes are, many of us, I can't speak for all, we forgive. We have a desire to want to forgive, many of us, and we are at least willing to listen to someone, you know, someone else's point of view. And a lot of us have been over backwards to understand another person's position, whatever they were saying, whatever they did, whatever was going on at the time. We have to realize that opinions are merely just that. They are not truth. A lot of times, opinions can deceive us. So just, you know, bringing that to the forefront so we can realize that as we interact with people on a day-to-day basis, because much like God uses us, Satan uses people as well. So I want to bring up this scripture. It comes from 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9, and it states, "So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil." Again, that's 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9. And, you know, discerning the truth from a lie is actually a primary reason for us understanding the Bible. And I want to point out, too, that King Solomon, it says that he became the king of Israel after his father David died. So at this time, he recognized that he was young, but also that he lacked understanding. And what he did was, we all are familiar with that, I'm sure, is he prayed to God, asking God to be given understanding. And the reason for this was so that he could be able to discern between good and evil. He prayed to God for wisdom. And this is something that, you know, God granted to him. He was, the Bible says, the wisest man in the Bible. And again, it's something that, you know, we say this all the time, you know, we'll pray to God, ask God for the desires of your heart, but we have to be operating in obedience first and foremost. We all at some point we recognize that, you know, we should be able to distinguish between a lie and what's true, but we see day in and day out that many of us are often willing to go along, as I stated, with someone else's point of view without getting the full story, without evaluating the entire situation, because it's just easier that way. And we further, when we do this, we further complicate our desire to believe, you know, the truth of God. So we focus on what someone is saying versus what the Bible tells us, you know, what God tells us in his word, his truth. So just, you know, just something to really hone in on and to realize that it requires us to be in the word, to stay in the word. And one of the other things is when we stay in the word, but also abide by it, the Bible tells us that our discernment is going to grow. So it's going to grow in a way that we're going to be able to know when we're being deceived, but as I stated before, also be able to recognize when we are operating in deception. So just a few things, you know, wanted to point out as we talk about this. And also just another thing is just letting everyone know and just stating that deceit is something that always lurks around us day in and day out. And what it does is it seeks to deter us from faithfully following God. So we need to be on our guard at all times because we know that Satan is deceptive. He's manipulative. And he seeks to devour us. He seduces us in a way that it doesn't come to us packaged in the way that we think it should be. And what he ultimately does is he puts us in a position of instability, and he's attempting to get us entangled in his lies, entangled in his seeds of doubt, so that it can pull us away from God. And what we have to do is depend on the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us, to help us to discern and to be able to recognize when Satan is around, when he's attacking us.
That's good, Ms. Latonya. So I do welcome. Did you pray already?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, I do welcome everybody because I don't want everybody to get off kilter right quick. So we're talking about discernment versus deception, deception versus discernment. I do hope that everybody is woke. Wake on up. Wake on up. Okay. Wake on up. Let me talk a little bit about discernment. Discernment in these new time and ages in the contemporary church, it has been misguided, mistaught. Okay, this is nothing to play with. So let me go ahead and wake you up real quick because I don't want somebody to be, told a fabricated story that is not true. Discernment is nothing to play with. Let me say it again. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. Discernment is a thorough, complete, wholehearted walk with God. If you don't have it, don't ask for it. Because you do understand when God gives you something, God expects a return on his investment. He's a great businessman. I mean, he handles the business of God. Do you not understand? Even baby Jesus said, why do you worry to his mother and father when I'm handling my father's business? I was about my father's business. Ain't nothing about God play. Now that I got y'all attention, good.
Right.
Good. Because we throw these words around loosely, like we would throw the words friend and love around. Discernment ain't nothing to play with. I thank God for discernment. What you doing with it?
Because
if you're not living a lifestyle of God, that discernment has gone to what? Waste. And to whom much is given, much is required. You do know God is going to judge you very harshly. You do know that, right? The Bible clearly says that the teachers, he will judge, and much harsher. Read your Bibles. Huh? Come on, let's get to the true definition of the word discernment, because I don't want nobody to be playing this with this stuff, because we always, see, this is the deception behind this. Discernment is supposed to benefit us. I pray for God for discernment, because I want to expose who these men are in my lives. First of all, why it's poor. Second of all, do you understand the one man that you do have? Do you know what God is? It's mighty funny how we want discernment to find the right man when we have the right man, and we don't know who he is, because technically, what we say, we don't even know how to hear God's voice. Mm. So how you want the right man when you got the right man in your life already? Or did you discern it?
Indeed.
Huh? See, so now all of a sudden we want discernment for, let's peel back these layers, for personal gain. Now you know God don't play with this little personal gain, little situation here. Y'all do know that, right?
Yes, sir.
Just wanted to be clear. Do not mix the things of God, huh, with the credence and the shrewdness and, you know, this literally spiritual bliss that has the residue of sin all around it. The germ of sin is all around it, because we want that type of discernment. God, show me what's best for me. God, show me who's best for me. Well, are you best for God? How about that? Let's start there. Can you discern that? Are you good for heaven? Are you a great representative for God? Let's start there. Before we want everything around us good, make sure we good. In other words, why build a harbor house in a rich neighborhood? In other words, why do you want the things of heaven when your house ain't straight? Why you want to be on heaven's bar? Look, y'all getting me started already, huh?
Amen.
Ain't that something?
It is.
We use discernment to tear everything else down around us because we want to know what's good and what's fake. We want to know what's real and what ain't too good for us. But what about are we good for God? Well, Mr. Carr, hold on. God know my heart. And he also know the heart of the one that you say wasn't good for you.
Right.
Huh? It's mighty funny with discernment how, watch this, when they want somebody else, when they find something better, you know, they wasn't the right person. But when you find something better, well, why they mad?
Mm.
I was only dating them in the first place.
Yes, sir.
I choose what's best for me. So why can't they do the same?
Right.
I'm talking about discernment, people. Why then do you get mad when somebody lets you go with a job, but if you were the owner, you let people go? Discernment, right? Let's break down the discernment now. And I ain't talking about no Webster definition. Discernment. Hey, y'all know how to spell it? D-I-S-C-E-R-N-M-E-N-T. Discernment. Discernment is to be able to separate the things from God and the things not from God. Since we pray for discernment, you do understand that prayer is one thing. It's a whole other thing to get up and actually study and grow in it.
Yes, it is.
You pray for the marriage. You pray for kids. You pray, for jobs. But don't you know after you pray, what you're going to do with it? It's the next question. Discernment is to be able to separate the things from God and the things not from God. How can we discern something when we don't live it every day? In other words, if you don't live God every day, how you know you live in God? How much do you study God? See, it's called hearing and doing. The Bible said don't be merely hearers, but be also doers. He didn't say just do, but you got to hear and do. Uh-oh. So discernment requires that we get educated in the wisdom and the lifestyle of God. In other words, it's not just God. We got to live the way, the truth, and the life. We got to live Jesus. Uh-oh.
Amen.
Now, see, here's where it gets tricky. Because when we got to live the life of Jesus, we don't want the discernment no more. Y'all heard me. I said no more. I ain't say more. We don't want it no more. No, we don't want it no more.
Mm-hmm.
But see, the lifestyle. Oh, no. We don't want the life. Because we say it up front. Oh, I ain't perfect. In other words, I don't want discernment. See, we want that type of discernment that just shows us about people and things around us. But we don't want that type of discernment that actually exposes us as well.
No, we don't.
Let me say it again. We're talking about deception versus discernment. We want that type of discernment that exposes everybody else, hypocrites. But we don't want that type of discernment that exposes us as well. Because if it exposes us, why then are you so harsh on everybody else?
Right.
Oh, let me say it again. The Bible says to love your neighbor like you love yourself. Come on, wake up now. I know you're laying in your bed. Go ahead and sit up. Don't play with God. Do not play with God. Do not play with God. If you was going on an interview on a Sunday morning, you would be up and at them. If it was went from a $70,000 job to a $150,000 job, you would be excited. This is the word of God. Riches on earth cannot compare. Wake up, people.
Amen.
How he's so excited about God, just like how you were excited about last night, whatever you did.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yes, indeed.
God first, right? That's what we say? Act like God is first then. You
Amen.
Said it, right? God first? Oh, yeah, I'm challenging a lot of folks. I can't see you, but your daddy can. Now, you say God come first? Act like he come first. Good. Got your attention now, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You should be tired of playing with God, right? Huh?
Right.
We want that discernment, right? I thank God for discernment, right? But see, here's the thing about that. How you thank God for discernment when discernment may not always go in your favor?
Yes, indeed.
How much discernment do you have when you got to challenge those who you love? You got so much discernment, right? But when mom and daddy say something wrong, do you discern it in a godly way and challenge mom and daddy? Or do you say, no, the Bible says honor mom and daddy. Do you even understand what honor means? Honor don't mean that you can't challenge them.
Right.
Honor is a high reverence. But just because I reverence you don't mean that mama, that was wrong. Uh-oh.
Right.
Uh-oh. So how much discernment you want again?
Mm-hmm.
How much discernment do you want? Because you do know when you have it, you got to live in it because God expects a return on his investment. Y'all forgot? He's a businessman.
Yes, he does.
Oh.
Yes.
Huh? And if he don't see no profit in his business, why would he allow that into heaven? Hello.
Right.
I'm huh? Oh, y'all, I know what y'all praying for, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Come on. Discernment is to be able to separate the things from God and the things not from God. Mm-hmm. Discernment is to distinguish between good and evil. Discernment is to distinguish between what is good and what is evil. Mm-hmm. So just because it's mild don't mean it's good.
Right.
Huh? Come on, you know that for a fact. Hmm? Discerning spirits, right? What about when we smile and we ain't really want to smile, but we just wanted what they had? So we smiled anyway.
Right.
Ah, so it wasn't real, right? It was superficial. Oh. You know, the fake hug, how you doing type hug. And then you turn back around and talk about the people. Ah.
Oh.
Good versus evil. Mm-hmm. You should be able to discern starting with yourself. Ah.
Yeah.
Huh? What beautician does have when theirs not done first? Ah. They should practice on themselves first. Ah. So if you're going to discern, be able to discern you first. Ah. Hello?
Yes, sir. Indeed.
Ain't that something?
It is.
Hmm? Discernment. Discernment. Huh? The Bible says, test every spirit to see if it's a spirit of God. When you have discernment, when you pray for discernment, know what you're praying for, know what you have. When you're able to discern a spirit, people, it's the ability to tell whether one is speaking by the Holy Spirit or one is speaking by a false spirit. How can we tell if one is speaking by the Holy Spirit when we don't even know when God is talking to us?
Amen.
It's telling you what the consensus is. I don't even know that I hear God. Just because you don't say it with your mouth, the lifestyle suggests so.
Yes, it does.
Huh? Oh, yeah, you called on the right call. Discernment.
Yes, it does.
I'm serious, people. It gets real. Hmm? You know how many times people ask, hey, can you pray for me? Discernment. I say, what am I praying for? Don't worry about that, but that's between me and God. Well, I tell you what, baby. Go talk to God directly. Why you asking me? I don't just pray for something. I'm pinpoint. I'm a marksman. In other words, I'm a sharpshooter. I know my target. Either you're going to expose and tell me what it is, or don't even worry about it. But we want to play a game because we want the spiritual side, but we don't want the truth. The Bible says those who worship me in spirit and in what? In
truth.
Don't you tell your doctor what's going on?
Hmm?
Now, oh, Lord, have mercy. If you go to that doctor and say, doctor, I need something. I need some healing. The doctor say, what's going on? If you can't tell a doctor the symptoms, you might as well go ahead and leave that doctor's office.
Amen.
Oh, I got you, Mr. Carr. I got you. Oh, yeah. Because if you're the man of God, you should be able to tell me what's going on. But let me tell you something. Here's the thing. The Bible says confess your sins one year to another. In other words, open up to God. The Bible says remind God of his word. It's not that God don't know. God wants you to open up to him. And see, everything God don't let known to whomever he have operating it, listen to me. If you can't be bold enough to tell it, keep your mouth closed and deal with it then on your own.
Yes, sir.
Because we get beside ourselves. In other words, we try and test God. Because if you be of God, you should be able to tell me. Well, keep on living a life of that and see how far you get with that.
Mm-hmm.
But if I got stuff I need from God, I'm opening my trap, my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't that something?
Yes, it is.
That's why a lot of people single solo right now. Because if he was a real man, he should know what I want. I shouldn't have to tell him. Well, if you was a real child of God, God shouldn't have to tell your behind that neither. Now what?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Oh, don't stop there now. We're talking about discernment. Don't stop there. I love it. God shouldn't have to tell you a word. Ain't that something?
Yes, it is.
I'm trying to say it, Ms. LaTanya. I'm trying to say it so where they can get it.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about discernment versus, huh? Come on.
Deception.
Come on. Y'all see it? Y'all see the difference?
Yes, sir.
Because if you're not walking in discernment, you're walking in deception. And
yeah.
Deception can be very subtle.
Mm.
It can be very subtle. Oh, yeah. Discernment, people. Experience. This is what discernment is. Understanding. This is what discernment is. Wisdom. Experience. That's what discernment is. When you pray for discernment, you're praying for experience. How can you pray for experience unless you live it? Now,
right.
Some people say, well, you know, if you ain't married, you can't tell nobody you a lie because Jesus wasn't married naturally. But who can tell people about marriage when he's the one who created it? Come at me again?
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Ah. See, when the Bible says go to the elders of the church, he ain't talking about the old ones. He's talking about the ones who have experience in him, the ones who've been in God. I ain't talking about who just go. I'm talking about the ones who live.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Discernment, huh? You want it? What your experience look like?
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about we doing this every day. They end it. Come on, people. Mm-hmm. Discernment is understanding. The Bible says, in all thy getting, get an understanding. How can you be doing something that you don't understand why you're doing it? What kind of discernment is it?
Right.
We don't fully understand unless we are fully submerged in God. I said fully submerged in God. You ever notice how some people can drive and be following the GPS, and then some people who have an understanding don't need the GPS, they know shortcuts? It's one thing, boy, understanding will get you there.
Yes,
and
sir.
Why?
Yes, sir.
Huh? Ain't that something?
It is.
Huh? Isn't it the best thing in the world to be in the hands, the care of a physician who understands the human body, not the one who just read the book?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
It is.
The sermon is vital, ain't it?
It is.
See, when you have an understanding, this is why the Bible says count it all joy, regardless of what's going on in your life. When you have an understanding of life, when you have an understanding of who you are, what will happen is when Satan tries to throw snares your way, you're not deceived. You understand that it's supposed to happen, and you're built for that.
Yes,
but when you're not built for it, and you've been, oh, Lord, you've been deceiving yourself? You said you was a Christian, but you wasn't really built for that life? See, I understand why you run off. But when you actually have discernment, and you take on the responsibility that God has saddled you with, you don't have a problem with things coming your way and punching you in the gut. Because I'm built for this. Satan, take your best shot. But I tell you what, when I do get up, just like the angels ministered to Jesus, what you think will happen?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Yes, sir.
You don't understand.
Oh, yes.
You don't understand, though.
Mm-hmm.
See, discernment is understanding. Understanding that everything won't go my way, but it's always going to go here.
Yes.
Y'all better wake up this morning. I told you, we ain't here. This ain't no live ministry call. I know you like to put the word live on it. I'm cool with that. See, I understand that some people won't get it. The Bible says, blessed are those who believe and have not seen. It's okay. What church I go to Sunday morning breakfast, where that's at right here?
Yep. That's right.
Believe that because of the understanding, because of the discernment. God is creating a new thing that some people.
Yes, he is.
Called discernment. Hmm? Wisdom. Where do you think you get wisdom from? Discernment. Where do you think you get wisdom from? You can't get... The Bible said be as wise as a serpent, but as humble as a dove. Now, let's think about this. We're talking about discernment. That means Satan got discernment. And he... Oh, hold on. Back up. Let's go back to the definition, Ms. LaTanya. Because we're talking about discernment this morning, right?
Yes,
sir. Cool. So y'all don't think that the devil can't use discernment?
Discernment
definition is to be able to separate the things from God and the things not from God. You don't think that the devil knows what's for God and what's not? Oh, he got discernment. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. Well, I'm trying to tell somebody something. The Bible says to be as wise as a serpent but as humble as a dove. See, just because you have discernment don't mean that you're operating in God. Just because God has given you discernment don't mean that you're using it for his glory. You can be able to separate good from evil and still cause havoc, Satan. Uh-oh. So you've been praying for discernment, but have you been living a life of humility?
Amen.
See, when you live a life of humility, pride and humility cannot coexist in the same life, nor the same body, nor the same mind. You're either going to have pride or you're going to have humility.
Yes,
pride suggests that me first. Humility says that God first. I have nothing to do with it. This life is not mine. Which one are you living in? Because when you pray for discernment, now what hands is it in? Is it in the hands of a prideful Satan one, or is it in the hands of a humble, righteous one? Which one is it? Uh-oh. I need y'all to hear, because we think that discernment is a crown that gets us to heaven. But if that be the case, why is Satan not there? He got a whole bunch of wisdom, and wisdom is a form of discernment. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Bible says, be as wise as a serpent. But, look at the conjunction, but, humble as a dove.
Yes, sir.
Ooh. So we pray for the discernment, but ain't nothing humble about us. Right? Because we can read everybody. We can even read ourselves. But we don't put ourselves under a microscope. The headline in discernment is everybody else. In other words, they wrong, ooh, they good.
Right.
Satan has a plethora of discernment, if you didn't know that. By definition, discernment is to be able to separate the things from God and the things not from God. If he didn't have discernment, he may be working for God, that which he is not. So he knows exactly who he's working for, himself. Discernment to be able to distinguish good and evil. You don't think he can distinguish that?
Yes, he can.
The ability to tell whether one is speaking from the Holy Spirit or a false spirit. You don't think Satan know that? Of course. But we pray for discernment, but it's more so, it goes beyond just discernment. You know how people say, I pray for a husband, I pray for a family, I pray for the job? Baby, it's more than that. You know, I wish I could be an entrepreneur up until them bills hit you. You don't have insurance no more covered. You know how people work for the city and the state so they can get covered? Now you understand that being an entrepreneur, you got to swing at your own thing. See, you pray for something that you're not really ready for, are you?
Yes. Uh-oh. All Uh-oh. The time.
Lord, have mercy. Ain't there something?
It is.
Experience, understanding, wisdom. Let me give us two pointers real quickly. Discernment, y'all, wake up now. Discernment. Having discernment means judging correctly. Now, some people have told you not to judge, but that's a lie. Because if you don't judge, tell me how then do you make the right decisions? You don't think that's a judgment call?
Right.
When you decide something, aren't you judging it?
Yes, sir.
When you decide what you're going to wear today, aren't you judging it? When you decide how you wanted your hair done, did you judge that?
Yes.
Well, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about judging other people. No, you better judge other people. How then can you come out from amongst them? If you don't have the ability to judge, you don't have the ability to discern.
Right.
Let me repeat that. If you do not have the ability to judge, you do not have the ability to discern. See, we take things out of context because of the world has deceived us. But if you operate in discernment, you better understand that Satan wants to take the things of God and use it in a demonic way. In other words, there's nothing wrong with love making within marriage. The problem is marriage. There's nothing wrong with making money as long as money don't make you. Oh, Lord. Y'all not hearing me. Ain't there something?
Yes, sir, it is.
Oh, my God. Okay. Cool. So having discernment means judging correctly. Look what the Bible says, Matthew 7:2. Read that for us, Miss Latonya. I'm going to give her time to find it. Matthew 7:2. Y'all write it down. Okay? Now, I hope y'all woke this morning because we're talking about this thing, discernment. And this is a big word because y'all know we praise for some discernment. Because we want God to reveal and expose things in people around us. But what about revealing and exposing us too now? What you got, Ms. Latonya? Matthew 7:2.
The scripture reads, "For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you."
See, y'all, having discernment means judging correctly. Now, when Jesus' statement, "Stop judging others," is aimed at the kind of hypocritical judgment attitude that tears others down.
Yes.
In order to build oneself up. See, we use discernment to, oh, Lord, have mercy. Look at it now. We use discernment to tear other people down by building us up because we want God to expose everybody else.
Yes.
What about skeletons you have in your closet? What about the little body count you have that people don't know about? Talking about this being 3 years, girl, being three weeks. Don't even play that game. Boy, what? I tell you, they laughing. They know I'm talking. They know I'm telling the truth. Huh? It counted. Yes, it did count. Just because you ain't like them, don't mean it didn't count. Yes, it did. But we want discernment on everybody else.
Yes,
we want to just see the judgment. Jesus said, "Don't judge." See, you got to understand. See, didn't I say discernment is understanding?
Yes.
Huh? Well, didn't Jesus say, don't judge, Mr. Carr? You contradicting. You got to judge. If you was in a relationship with God, you would understand when somebody meant no, they meant no for this particular. Oh, you don't understand.
Yes.
If you didn't judge, then that means you are susceptible to temptation every which way, and it'll just take over.
Yes.
So when Jesus in this statement is saying, stop judging, he's aiming it at people who are hypocritical. You know, that judgmental attitude that tear other people down in order to build ourselves up? But he's not saying judgment as a blanket statement against all critical thinking. But he's calling, it's a call to be discerning rather than to be negative.
Amen.
See, Jesus said to expose false teachers, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did.
He did. Go ahead and read further. That's Matthew 7:15-23. Go read that on your own. And Paul taught that we should exercise church discipline. That's 1 Corinthians 5:1-2. He said that. And trust God to be the final judge.
Yes.
In other words, the sermon says you got to judge, but the final verdict comes from God, not from you.
Amen.
Rest my case.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, you better judge, but that judgment better be a final verdict from God. That means it would never be wrong. You know how you thought you had it right, but you was wrong?
Mm.
That's the kind of judgment God said don't use, because, see, that's the kind of judgment that says I'm sorry. And the Bible says he's not a man tell where he should repent nor apologize. I know some of us have that type of spirit upon us that I don't apologize no way, Mr. Carr, but that ain't the apology God is talking about. He doesn't apologize because he is his truth. It's correct.
That's right.
We don't apologize because we pride. Do not put the category of God because of that. Okay? We're talking about discernment, people. Getting ready to show, close down now. Okay? Number two. So the first one was having discernment means judging correctly. Number two, having discernment means wanting what God wants. Point blank, period. Having discernment means wanting what God wants. Oh, God's going to give me the desires of my heart. Like you got discernment. Like you got understanding. Like you got experience in the things of heaven. Like you have wisdom. I don't care how long we've been in God. The Bible says that we would not be able to know in whole until the day of judgment when God pours his spirit. And then we'll be able to see clearly. We'll be able to judge ourselves. The Bible says we'll be able to judge ourselves. The Bible says, and in other words, if you have discernment, shouldn't it start at the house of God, meaning you?
Yes, it should.
We pray for discernment to be hypocritical and judge and overshadow other people and expose other people. But what about us?
Yeah.
They do practically the same things we do if we don't do them worse. But we put them down. We cannot live a life like that and then use God as a tool and mechanism that says, I need God to expose them. No, God, you need God to expose you and then go forward. How about that?
Yes, sir.
He clearly says that before you remove the speck, something small, remove the plank from your own so that you can see clearly. Didn't he say this?
Yes, he did.
Oh, we forgot them scriptures, right? Because we want discernment to be able to protect us. But what about God protect them from me? Attitude. Oh, let me say it again because somebody missed them, and I know somebody had to go brush their teeth right quick. Turn the water off right quick, baby. That's okay. Look, what about the spirit that says God protect them from me?
Right.
Hmm. We always want God to protect us from people, but what about God protecting them from this unrighteous stuff right here? Mm-hmm. So if you don't deem yourself to be unrighteous, why do you actually put them down since you have so much discernment?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? Number two, having discernment means wanting what God wants. The child in Jesus example, look at Matthew 7, verse 9. Read that right quick, Ms. Tanya. Matthew 7, verse 9, what you got?
All right, Matthew 7, verse 9 reads, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone?
Y'all got it? In other words, the child in this example asked his father for bread and fish. He wanted food. In other words, the things were good and necessary items. Y'all see it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. If the child in this situation, Mr. Latonya, had asked for something like, let's say, a poisonous snake, right?
Right.
Would the father be wise? Would the wise father have have honored their request?
No, sir.
Okay, cool. Y'all catch it? Having discernment means wanting what God, in other words, sometimes God knows what we are praying for. God know we're praying for snakes. God know we're praying for stones. Yeah, Lord have mercy. Y'all better wake up. Remember, sticks and stones may break my... Remember, there's by the stone a woman to death. You pray for discernment to hurt somebody. Lord, you pray for the stone. Look at what the Bible says. Read to them again, Matthew 7 and 9. Miss Latonya, I don't think they quite caught it the first time.
Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone?
Are you praying for discernment to grow? Or are you praying for discernment to stone? Are you praying for the food to grow and nourish the body so that people can see God through you? Or are you praying for discernment to hurt somebody, to throw a stone?
Whoa, nah.
What they say, whoa, Kemosabe? Big ball in his mind? Whoa. Now, how that man be knowing all that? Don't worry about that now. Whoa, now, huh?
Yes.
Huh? What did we pray for discernment for? Huh? But look at the Bible. God know what we're praying for. And if you're praying for that stone, that snake, and God don't give you what you're asking for, why you mad? I know we've been persistent in our prayers. God heard them. We don't say it like that, but you know how we do it. We want the job because we say success is the best form of revenge. So the Bible says that vengeance is here. So why would God give you something that you want to hurt somebody with? So you no wonder why we're not growing in our job. Woo! Ain't that something?
Yes, it is.
I thought you prayed for discernment, right?
Well,
so if you knew that, you should be able to expose your own hand. I know I ain't right. And I know why God didn't give it to me then. Because I prayed for a stone and not for bread.
Yes.
A wise father don't give a child something they don't need. Oh, my goodness.
Amen.
Huh? Because you know, if we pray for discernment, that means the one we're praying to get it, he got it. So why would he give it to you, knowing your intent? See, as we come to know God better, as a loving father, we learn to ask for what is good, for what is good, and then he grants it. In other words, having discernment means wanting what God wants. Why do you pray for what you pray for? Is it because you want what God wants for you, or do you want more than God wants for you? You want to know who your husband going to be, who your wife going to be. God don't want you to know that right now. Remember, you're too young. Remember how you tell your little 13-year-old, you're too young to be having a boyfriend? You're too young. I don't care that you're 30 to be having a husband because you have yet to mature in God. So why he wants you with a husband? Somebody else that you're going to struggle with and bring down. No, I need you by yourself right now.
Yes, sir.
Lord have mercy. Ain't that something?
It is.
Ain't it, huh?
Oh, yes, it is.
I'm going to leave it right there.
Let's
pray, Ms. Latonya.
Our Father and our God, we come before you on this morning at this hour to say thank you, dear Lord. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to dwell in your midst on this morning, dear God, for allowing us to receive of your word. We thank you, Father, for the understanding, the knowledge, and the wisdom that you're going to impart into us, dear Father, because we know that as we continue to submit our lives to you, dear God, and walk in obedience, these things will come in your timing, dear God. We thank you just for allowing us to be connected to one another, to like-minded people, dear God. We ask that you will just help us to live our lives in a way that shows others who you are, dear God, that helps them to draw closer to you, dear God. And as we go forward in the days ahead, dear Father, we ask that you will just help us to judge correctly, dear God. Help us to want the things that you want for our lives, to walk in your will for our lives, dear God, and just continue to walk in love. We thank you for this ministry, and we thank you for our leader, dear God. We ask that you will continue to strengthen him in all the areas where he's weak, dear God, and continue to show us all the way that we should live and walk in the path of righteousness. We pray and ask all these things in the precious name of your darling son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Y'all have a great day. We'll see y'all later on this evening at 8 p.m. Y'all have a great day.
Bye-bye.